While we were praising, this scripture came to me. It's found in Matthew 7:7. I believe it's a scripture for this new year. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. I believe that that's a word for us for this new year. Powerful. God's word is powerful. We've put this word to the test, and it works. It works. I tell you, it works. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here. Is it January 6th? We're almost into a week of this new year. I'm excited about it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited. I mean, I didn't know we would make it to 2019. I didn't know if the rapture, you know, was going to be coming earlier, but here we are. We know it's coming, and I'm just trusting God. He's going to work out all the details. Amen. So anyway, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to each of you. We're continuing a series, as Gary said, that I've entitled it Honoring God. And I was inspired for this series. Remember when I said Gary and Kale and I went down to Texas the end of November, and while we were there in Texas, we were, you know, looking at some of the historical sites, and we saw, I mean, they do big things in Texas. They do everything big, and so they had these huge statues of these awesome men who did amazing things, you know, for their state, you know, and while we were there, President Bush, remember, President Bush passed away, and so we got to see, we were watching the news and see all the pomp, all the different ceremonies to give honor to this man who was about to be buried right where we were there in Texas. And we saw, you know, they were, you know, trimming the trees and planting new flowers and making it all look really good because the whole world was about to descend on that place in Texas. And while I was there, I'm thinking about all this that they're doing for man, you know, honorable men that have done amazing things. But how much more should we give honor to the God who created those men, to our God, the creator of the universe? So that's why we're in this series, and it's called Honoring God. We're honoring God by looking at the attributes of God. We're looking at God's resume. You know, what has He accomplished? Why do we honor this God? Why this the God of this Bible? Why this God? Why not any of the other gods? Why this God? So revealing some of those attributes, those characteristics. We already had, this is already our third part that we're going into. What we looked at for part one and part two, we looked at the omniscience of God, if you remember. The omniscience. Omniscience. Remember, omni meaning all, and science meaning knowing. God is all-knowing. That's what we're looking at for the first two parts of this series. And so what we also did during those series is we began looking at the prophecies that God had revealed to his prophets hundreds of years before the Christmas story, before the birth of Jesus ever took place. That was, you know, the fulfillment of those prophecies reveal the omniscience of God. Who else would have known? Who could declare those things 700-800 years before it happened? And then it actually happened in the details that were given all those years before. Only God. Only the God of this Bible. The creator of the universe. So, you know, God, we said, you know, God knows, he knows everything. He knows all about us. He even knows what we're thinking. He knows what we think. He searches us, and he knows everything about us. Kathy, could you just pull up this? I'm sorry. Could you go to your Bibles, please? I don't have this one up there. Psalms 139. Go to your Bibles, please. I just want you to look at this before we move on. It's Psalm 139. I want to start at verse 1. Just a few last words about the omniscience of God. Psalm 139. I want to start at verse 1. Okay, Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. He knows our thoughts. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. God knows all about us. He knows it all. He can't be deceived. He knows everything. Man, you know, we can be deceived, but God can't. He's omniscient. He knows it all. You know, Scripture says that he knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knows the Scripture says that he knows how many sparrows fall. There's nothing secret to God. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon the prophet Ezekiel. Kathy, you could bring this back up again. Ezekiel 11:5. God told Ezekiel to speak this to the house of Israel. I know the things that come into your mind. Wow. What kind of thoughts come into your mind? God knows every one of them. Nothing's hidden from him. He knows our thoughts. You know, God saw Cain slay Abel. He knew what he was doing. God heard Sarah laughing. Remember when God told Abram that they were going to have a son in their old age, and Sarah laughed. God knew that. He knew her heart. He knew her thoughts. David realized that he couldn't hide his sins from God. He couldn't hide them. Nathan, the prophet Nathan, came and said, "You're the man. You're the man that has done these things." God knew it, and he revealed it to Nathan. God sees what any one of us dabble in when we think no one else is looking. Aren't you glad we have a forgiving God? He sees it all. And just as God knew all about all the details of Jesus' birth, he knew all the details about his crucifixion as well. Those were awesome. Thank you for those awesome DVDs, Kathy. They were great. Scripture surely reveals the omniscience of God. I want to look at another attribute today, and that would be the omnipotence of God. We want to look at the omnipotence. God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our honor. Not just for his omniscience, but for his omnipotence as well. Omni, you know, meaning all; potence, meaning power. Kathy, could you bring up Revelation 19? This is the Apostle John, and he's telling us what God had revealed to him in a prophetic vision there on Patmos. Revelation 19:6, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Scripture says that God is omnipotent. Omnipotent. That's the central theme of the book of Revelation, the awesome power of God, the God of this Bible, the God of Scriptures. Let's look at that word omnipotent. Kathy, can you bring that up? Okay, omnipotent, omni meaning all, potent meaning powerful, mighty. God is all powerful. He is almighty. His power is unlimited. It's infinite. He's able to do all that he needs to do, or all that he wills to do. That word omnipotent that we just looked at appears only one time in Scripture, in Revelation, where we looked at it. But you know, you see the definition, potent, powerful, mighty. The definition for that Greek word for omnipotent includes the word almighty. Almighty. That's a synonym. Kathy, could you bring the Greek up? This is the Greek word pentakrator. That's the Greek word. It means all ruling, almighty. It means omnipotent. And that word almighty is used 345 times in Scripture. And every time it's used, it never refers to anyone else but to God. Almighty, omnipotent, the creator of this universe. So that should help us to realize that, you know, God's pretty powerful, right? It's amazing. Kathy, could you bring up Psalm 89:8? We got it. Okay. The psalmist says, "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you." One of the 12 names that God reveals himself in Scripture, one of those names is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Kathy, could you bring up Genesis 17:1? When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk with me and be blameless." The Hebrew name for Almighty God is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. He was saying that he was God. El meaning God. Kathy, could you go to the next slide? Thank you. El meaning God. Shaddai meaning Almighty. He is the Almighty God. All sufficient. All power. His power is unlimited. He is almighty. You know, when we talk about power in the natural, you might all be able to relate with this. You know, we can think about a battery. You know, a battery has a lot of volts in it, right? You know, but you know, as you draw on that battery, you know, it weakens the battery. Have you ever gone out to your car on a very cold winter morning and you try to start that thing and nothing happens? You know, the battery is so weak it won't start the car. But God's battery never runs out. He's the energizer, you know, constant. There's no, you know, he gives power out to his angels and archangels. It doesn't weaken his power. He is all powerful. He is self-sufficient. His power never diminishes. He has the same power before, yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't lose any of his power. Kathy, can you bring up Malachi 3:6? "For I am the Lord, I do not change." God's power is all sufficient. It doesn't get drained out and he has to replenish. He doesn't change. He has that power all the time. You know, this week was a really busy week for us. We were helping someone move, and there weren't a whole lot of helpers, so that took a lot of our energy. And I can tell you, you know what? I needed to sleep. But God doesn't have to sleep. He doesn't sleep. He's on all the time. All right. I suppose one of the greatest examples of his omnipotence is seen in creation. Creation. You know, all God had to say was, "Let there be." And there was. That's his power. He simply spoke, and by the power of his word, everything was created. Kathy, could you go to Psalm 33:6? "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." His word is powerful. That's how he created everything. You know, in Genesis 2:2, if you remember, it said that God rested on the seventh day. Remember, it said he rested from all of his work. He had done all the creating, and then he rested. When it says that he rested, it doesn't mean that God got tired like I got tired, where I had a rest, I had a sleep. It says that he rested because he was done. He had finished creating the earth, the stars, the moon, the plants, the animals, us. And so Kathy, could you bring up Genesis 2, 1 and 2? Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Verse 1 tells us that they were finished. And verse 2 says that he stopped working because he was done. His work was finished. He had completed it all. That Hebrew word for rested there, the Hebrew word is Shabbath. That means to desist from exertion. It means to cease. He had finished creation. That doesn't mean that his power was diminished, okay? You may remember the Christmas story that we talked about just a few weeks ago. Remember when the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to be, you know, bearing God's son and that she would give birth to him. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? You know, I know not a man. She was saying, how can this be? I'm a virgin. How is that going to happen? You know, and this is what the angel said to her. Kathy, do you have this? Luke 1:35. The angel said, the power of the highest will overshadow you. The power of the highest. There is no power higher than the highest. Okay? No higher power than the God of this Bible. And then the angel goes on to say in Luke 37, if we look down a little bit further, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. And Jesus actually confirmed that when he responded to his disciples. Remember, his disciples were questioning about this salvation stuff. You know, how is this going to work? And this was his response, Matthew 19:26, Kathy. He said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Only God could fix this, what was going on here. Only God, only the God of creation. No other God could fix it. It was God. Nothing is too hard for him. And let's look at what the prophet Jeremiah says. Kathy, could you bring, okay, we got Jeremiah 32:7. This is Jeremiah, okay? Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Nothing. That's what God spoke to Jeremiah. And Kathy, we have a little bit further down in verse 32, we have 26 and 7, 27. This is what God is saying. Verse 26 of Jeremiah 32. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Nothing. Nothing is too hard for God. What are you dealing with? You think it's too hard for God? Uh-uh. Not at all. Not at all. A.W. Tozer reveals this story of a man who was walking behind these Scotsmen. Apparently, these Scotsmen were very learned. He perceived that they were very learned men. And the man overheard the one guy saying to the other that he didn't believe that a whale could swallow a person and then spit him back up on dry land. And then he heard the other supposedly learned guy say that he didn't believe that a donkey could talk. And so, you know, this man that overheard these two guys speaking, he stopped them and he said, if you can make a donkey, you can make him talk. If you can create a donkey, you can make him talk. God created the donkey, so God can make him talk. And if God can create a whale, and we know that he did, he created the whale, he can make him do whatever he wants to make him do. He created him. Anyway, so God reveals his omnipotence. So powerful. Let's look at Job. This is another awesome place to see the omnipotence of God. We'll go to the book of Job. verse. Oh, I'm sorry. Look this up in your Bibles. We're going to get there eventually. Go to your Bibles, please. Job 38. Can you open up to Job 38? I have several I want to look at before we get to the other. Job 38. I'm going to start at verse 4. This is so awesome. God reveals his omnipotence to Job. In verse 4, chapter 38, verse 4. This is God speaking to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding, Job. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Verse 8. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. Verse 10, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. God was revealing his omnipotence to Job. And if you read the rest of Job, God is just reminding him that he created the earth, he rules it. He rules it justly and compassionately, and that he cares for Job. Now, can you bring that up, Kathy, Job 42, verse 2. This is Job's response in humility to God. Job 42, 2. I know that you, God, can do everything, and that no purpose or plan of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Job repented. He confessed that he didn't know everything, but God does. God does. He is omniscient. He knows it all, and he is omnipotent, all-powerful. That's the same God that we can trust when we face situations. You know, I don't know what 2019 holds for all of us, but I do know who holds it. God created the seas. If he created them, he can part them, right? Okay, and he did. Exodus 14, we're revealing the omnipotence of God. He parted the seas here as the Israelites were fleeing from the Egyptians. Exodus 14:21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Verse 22. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. That's pretty powerful, don't you think? I mean, we've gone out to, what is that place out there? Sight and Sound. And we've seen them demonstrate that. And that was pretty cool how they did that. But this is the real water. This is the Red Sea. It wasn't a production being put on. This was the power of God doing the real thing. He is omnipotent. He is powerful. You know, God's omnipotence is demonstrated in all the miracles that he performed in Scripture. You know, multiplying the food, you know, healing the sick, you know, calming the storm. Ultimately, one of his greatest demonstrations of his power was raising the dead. You know, he raised Lazarus, the widow's son, Jairus' daughter. Well, if God created man, and he did, he can raise him from the dead. Nothing is too difficult for him. God also demonstrated his power in the forgiveness of sins. Only God, Only the creator of this universe, only our creator can forgive sin. He has the power to forgive sin. And he revealed that through his son, Jesus. Could you go to your Bibles, please? I want to look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. God demonstrates his power here in chapter 9. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. So he got into a boat, Jesus got into the boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." He said amidst themselves, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. He, God, has power to forgive sins. One of the greatest demonstrations of God's power also was in the resurrection of Jesus. Kathy, could you bring up John 10, 17 and 18. God revealed this power to Jesus. John 10, 17 and 18. "Therefore, my Father loves me." This is Jesus speaking. "My Father loves me because I lay my life down that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." That word for power, Kathy, could you bring up that power in that scripture? That Greek word is exousia, which means power, force, authority, jurisdiction, and strength. Exousia. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Before he went to the cross, Peter was trying to protect him, and he cut off the servant's ear, and he told Peter, "Put your sword away." And so, this is Jesus revealing that power again. Kathy, could you bring up Matthew 26:53? This is Jesus. "Do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" 12 legions. How many is in one legion? 6,000. He can provide him with 12 legions of angels. He could have called on his Father to take him out of that. He wouldn't know how to go through that scourging. He wouldn't know how to get the hair ripped out of his beard or spit upon. He would not have had to do any of that. But Jesus came here to do a job. He submitted to God's plan of salvation, and that was to pay for our sins. He said, "It has to be done this way." Kathy, could you bring up 26? "How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way?" It must happen. He submitted to God's way. God's power is revealed all throughout the gospel. Let's look at Jude 24 and 25. Yeah, okay. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." Only God has the power to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. That's powerful. That's powerful. Also, his power is available to us. He's given us everything we need. Could you go to your Bibles in 2 Peter? I want to look at that. 2 Peter chapter 1. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but you know what? This is Word of Life Church. So you can expect a lot of word when you come in here, all right? On Thursday mornings, we're doing a Bible study, and we're focusing on divine healing. And I'm actually using a lot of notes that I took in various healing schools that I went to all across the country. And I'm pulling out those nuggets of truth. Powerful. The one thing that I shared with the class is this, that whatever class I went to, any healing class, whether it be Ken Hagen's or Andrew Womack's or down there in Georgia or in New Jersey, they just gave me the word, like a machine gun. They just give you the word, give you the word, give you the word, give you the word. It's about the word, guys. So we're looking at the word. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine what? Power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has already given us his power. If you're born again, you already have the power of God inside of you. In your born again spirit, it's there. You've got it. It's in you. That word for power in those scriptures, that Greek word is that word dunamis. It's miraculous power. It is ability. It's might. Kathy, could you pull up Ephesians 3:20? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So that power is, if you're born again, that power is in us. That dunamis, that miraculous power is in us. And we will see the fruit of that power as we release it. As we release it. What releases it? Faith. Faith. Faith releases it. Whether it's healing, deliverance, finances, we access that power by faith. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. But you know, there's some scriptures that say that there's some things that God can't do. That doesn't mean that he's not powerful. One of them, Kathy, could you bring up Hebrews 6:18? It's impossible for God to lie. He's all powerful. But his character, he won't lie. That's part of his character. He chooses not to lie. He cannot lie. In the same way, you know, despite being all powerful, he hates evil. But he permits evil. We permit evil. We permit evil. He used evil events to allow the crucifixion of Jesus to take place. He allowed that to go on. But you know, he's also given us free will. We have free will to choose. Choose you this day who you will serve. He's given us the ability to choose. We permit evil or good based on our choices. And that could be a choice of ignorance. But it's our choice nevertheless. God is, he is sovereign. You know, if you look at that word sovereign, a lot of people say, well, God can do anything. And he's got the power to do anything. But the sovereignty of God is, let's look at the definition of sovereign. Kathy, could you bring that up? Sovereign means supreme in power or authority. It means first in rank. It means chief, having undisputed ascendancy, having independent authority. Sovereign means that God has the power to do anything, but he will not do anything outside of his character. Kathy, could you bring up 2 Peter 3:9? Excuse me. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's will is for everyone to receive salvation. But salvation doesn't just automatically fall, right? It's not God's will for anyone to go to hell. That would be evil. But there are millions going there. But God gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. We get to choose life or death, blessing or cursings. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. His will is for all of us to have life. He gives us that free will. But it's the choices that we make that either give an open door for God to work in our life or an open door for the enemy to work in our life. That is, we make those choices. They could be ignorant, but we have a say. We either come into alignment with God and give him free rein, or we do the opposite and give the enemy an open door. God desires a good outcome for us, but it doesn't happen automatically because he gives us a choice. It's according to the power that is at work in us. That power in many Christians, I hate to say, is dormant. They're not using that power. It's there. If you're born again, that power is there. You know, this morning I was doing my exercises, and while I was doing them, I was watching some Christian program on television, and the one pastor that was on was sharing a testimony of a woman that had been coming to his church for years, and every week she would put in a prayer request. Every week, pray for my husband. He's unsaved. Pray for my husband. Every week for years. And so they would take those prayers, and the pastoral staff would pass those prayers out, you know, those prayer requests, and they would lift this gentleman up for years. They were faithful to do that. So much to the point that, I forget what the guy's name was. Let's call it George. Oh, here's a request. Here's a prayer request for George again. I've already prayed for him over 100 times. You do it this week. It was a long time in coming. And then 2008 hit. That was an economic situation there. And he kind of hit bottom. And he committed adultery. And then his wife, after all those years, she was remaining faithful to him, asking the church, lift him in prayer. She said, I'm done. I'm going to file for divorce. And so the guy had to make a decision. And he was at that point, all those prayers over all those years, the power of God, that man accepted Christ. And the testimony, he and his wife were on this program this morning giving testimony. She's saying, this guy is he's totally different. He's a new man. Only the power of God can do that. I can't change you. I can't change anybody. But God can. What an awesome, God can change people's lives. It took him coming into alignment with God. He chose. He chose. Took a couple years. He had to go through some yucky things. But he made the right choice. And his wife is testifying that changed, a totally changed man. That's the omnipotence of God. No matter what it is that we're dealing with, we all deal with all kinds of stuff. We can trust the power of God. We can trust the omniscience of God to bring us through all of it. That dunamis power, that exousia. Every page of the Bible reflects the power of God. It's on every page. Every page. His power is not hidden. I want to close with this scripture. Kathy, could you pull this one up? 1 Corinthians 1:18. Powerful, powerful. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the omnipotence of God. All power belongs to Him, and we can tap into it by coming into alignment with what He says in His Word. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Powerful. Kathy's going to be bringing up a song. We're going to be finishing up with a song here. The author of this song was inspired by the very first verse that I gave to you in Revelation 19:6 regarding omnipotence. This was the very first one that we started with today for this part of the series. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. All right, let's do it. shall reign. You shall reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords, forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forever, guys. Excuse me. The omnipotence of God. That song was inspired by our scripture today. Our omnipotent God reigns. If you would like anyone to agree with you in prayer, we know our God is powerful. I would ask our prayer team to come forward. We would like to give you an opportunity. If you would like prayer, you're welcome to come forward and we will pray. We will agree with you in prayer. There is power in agreement. Power. So we're going to close. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your awesome omnipotence. I thank you for your power that works in and through us, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for life-changing power for all those, Lord, who honor you, who acknowledge who you are. We praise you, Lord God. We lift you on high. Worthy are you, Lord, to be praised. We thank you, Father, for your omniscience. We thank you that you know everything about us and you love us anyway. We thank you, Father, for your omnipotence. We exalt you, Lord, in this house. We thank you, Father, for all the victories, all the breakthroughs, Lord, that you have for us this year, 2019. We thank you in advance for them. We give you praise. We give you honor. Lord, we thank you that we can come up higher, that you give us a greater revelation, Lord, of who you are. Worthy of our praise, Lord, these attributes of yours. There are many. There's so many. We're just looking at a few, and none can compare with you. You are the creator of this universe, the God of this Bible. Our Lord, omnipotent, reigns. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all.